This is Winning with Wellness, a podcast about inspiring the wellness warrior in you. If you're feeling lost or alone in your wellness journey, or are looking for new ideas and inspiration, you are in the right place. A place you can learn about all things wellness in business, life, and living. Your host, Jenny Rice, will be bringing you inspiring stories and practical tools to improve your overall wellness, personally and professionally. Imagine what living a life of wellness would be like. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another show and episode of Winning with Wellness. This whole purpose of this show is to inspire you and encourage you to step into new ways of being. And I cannot wait for you to meet my guest, Alan Carroll. He is exceptional at articulating ways to think and step outside the box. Alan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Thank you very much.
Thrilled to have you here. Everybody, I just want to share a little bit about Alan's background so you guys have an idea of who I'm sharing time with and you're sharing space and time with. And then we're going to dig into our conversation. So you guys, Alan Carroll is he's basically education psychologist specializing in transpersonal psychology. He created Alan Carroll and Associates 30 years ago. And before that, he was a senior sales training consultant for 10 years at Digital Equipment Corporation. Alan authored the Broadband Connection, The Art of Delivering and Winning IT Presentation. He is super passionate about giving people the experience of mindfulness and presence through public speaking. Alan and I are obviously extremely passionate about mindset. As you know, that's my jam if you've listened to this show before. He has dedicated his life in search of tools that can be used by everyone to escape the psychological suffering caused by our ego and reconnect to the vast transcendent spiritual dimension of consciousness. That sounds exceptional. I can't wait to take this journey with you that lies just on the other side of thoughts we think. Alan, again, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
So before everybody, I mean, this is the thing. I wish I could record all portions of our conversation and put it on the show because we were actually really digging into a beautiful topic around Mother Earth, being in nature. We were sharing about where we both live and understanding how wellness, and you have a different term that you like to use, and I'd love for you to share it with the audience, about connecting to nature and what that can do for us.
Thank you. One of the things that I've discovered on my journey, and I'm sure all of you have heard about them, are the five elements. And the five elements vary depending on what culture you're talking about. But from my perspective, I take what the Greeks talked about: earth, air, fire, water, and the fifth one. The fifth one is a little vague because it's outside the physical. It's called space. And what I've discovered is that the more space you can consciously create, like I'm putting spaces between the sounds that I'm speaking right now, the more I practice creating spaces, the more spacious I become. And when the more spacious you become, it's like a hard wall versus a screen. So when you're facing all the challenges that you're facing in your life, either you resist it, which creates disease and the difficulties, or you relax, you take a breath, you ground your body, you walk out in nature, and you still the agitation going on inside your head. And when you still the agitation, you move from a reactive mode to a more of a be able to respond to what's going on. And that will create stillness, which creates ease in the physical body, which is definitely wellness.
I love that. I don't know if you guys listening felt that, but as you, I was kind of walking the pathway with you and walking outside. And literally when you said, and then you can feel that, I physically felt the ease just from imagining being outside. So when we talk about wellness, what does that mean to you? What does wellness actually mean to you?
Going back to the five elements, are you balanced in the physical? Are you aware of the five elements that is life, not your mind, but the five elements of I have a candle burning for fire. I drink water out of a copper vessel rather than a glass vessel. I ground my body. I walk in nature. I incorporate the fifth element. I incorporate the elements and the most important element for the transformation of consciousness is the fifth element.
Space.
And space is beyond the physical. Mm. And if you can create space between the thoughts that you speak, by just pausing, it also connects to the thoughts that you think. Right now, the thoughts that you think is just one continuous stream of consciousness. This goes right through all day long. And what you want to do is break that stream of consciousness into smaller parts. And when you can create the gap between the thoughts that you think, you discover the transcendent dimension of consciousness, which is like the ripple discovering the ocean. It's like, woohoo! I had no idea that existed. Your ego got in the way because your ego is the stream of thought.
Right. So what led you to your work? Because sales is a far stretch from where you... Actually, it's not a far stretch, but what led you to your work? Because, you know, we're talking corporate and now we're talking space. And I think there's so many dots that connect there, but many of us are afraid to connect the dots. So I'd love to hear your journey.
Journey starts with suffering.
Yeah.
It starts with the pain I feel today. I still feel the suffering of the longing for something that, and the analogy that I use is my favorite movie, Matrix 1. Not 2 and 3. Number one. That's what it's about, folks. But it has to do with there's something more than the suffering that I'm experiencing now. Mm-hmm. And so it creates a longing. It creates a longing for something to heal the pain. Something to heal the pain. And so I'm a transpersonal psychologist. What I've learned to heal the pain of public speaking is to take the fifth element of space, which is to pause, because it creates a space between the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, in that space of emptiness, you create a connection to the transcendent dimension in which you can get control of what I call... this is a command override switch that I can stop when I want to stop. And I can start and go when I want to go. And most people aren't able to control that. They just react. They're not able to stop because the ego gets in the way. So you got to get beyond the ego. Well, how do you get beyond the ego, Jenny? You get beyond the ego by practicing putting gaps between the thoughts that you speak, between the thoughts that you think, by consciously controlling the thoughts that you speak. And in order to do that, you got to be present. I got to be here with you in order to pause between this sound and this sound. And that's called the space of stillness. That's called the space of love. That's called the space of universal consciousness. It's a portal into the ocean of emptiness. But you got to give up the ego. The ego are the sounds. You got to give up the sounds. I don't want to give up the sound. That's who I am. Well, that's my opinion. You got to get beyond that one. Otherwise, you're solidified in this point of view and you're stuck.
Well, and I think through your demonstration, just in conversation, the power of the pause is exceptional. It allows information to land. It allows... Yes. Process time, it allows connection. And like you say, and for those listening, I'm sure as you're moving through this, many of us couldn't see, but Alan was holding up a paddle that showed stop and go. And what's powerful is when you're in the stop mode, you are deciding to move into the go mode, which I think is, again, so incredibly powerful.
That ability to stop gives you choice about what's the next action you're going to take. And then you say, well, if I have control of the action, is the action going to make the flowers grow in the greenhouse? Or is my action going to make the flowers die in my greenhouse?
Right.
No, I want to take an action which is one of love. rather than one of attacking something that's attacking my opinion about something. That only leads to unwellness, mm-hmm. but love leads to wellness. So you want to practice
nurturing.
Practice loving.
So when you think, Alan, when you think about, I obviously you work with people through this process. What do you find are some of the biggest barriers that people run into when it comes to taking on this practice? Because obviously it's a habit we need to change and develop into and evolve. What do you find are the biggest barriers for people? But I know we've mentioned the ego. Is do you have any other ones that you find are I mean, ego's huge. But do you have any other ones that pop up?
I find that the nothing pops up for me to describe what I would recommend doing, mm-hmm. other than to practice. It's like I can't use props. All right. When I train, Jenny, I always use props.
Which I love. Visual tools are amazing.
They have a greater impact on learning if you can see it in a three-dimensional form.
Yeah.
And what we want to be able to do is to describe the ability to be in space. And you can be in space by dismounting from the train of thought that you're thinking right now.
Mm.
But you got to catch yourself thinking. So anytime during the day, you catch yourself thinking. And people think 24/7, so it's easy to catch yourself thinking. Anytime you catch yourself thinking, say to yourself, okay, I'm going to take 3 breaths. I take my 3 breaths. And as I breathe out, I S for stop, T for take the 3 breaths. O for observe and allow the tension in your body to relax and to flow out of your feet. And then the P for stop is proceed with kindness. If you do that just once a day, it takes what, 30 seconds? Mm-hmm. That would create a beachhead that allows you to have stillness grow in your life. If you can do that one, that's what I do. But you got to wake up to do it.
So you right, you have to be
asleep.
Yeah. So that's what we're really hoping, I think, this episode will do for people is wake people up. Understand one small action can create a monumental shift in your way, in your being, never mind around, you know, the people that you're with. So when you think about the work that you're doing now, Alan, and you think about a younger version of yourself, what wisdom would you share with that younger version of yourself?
My younger version was terrified of public speaking.
Mm.
But I ended up with Werner Erhard and the S training back in the 70s. And I went through a public speaking program with them. And I had to face the fear, just face the fear and face the fear again and again and again and again and again. But the mind said, no, they're going to be a little uncomfortable. I don't want to make a fool out of myself. You know, it holds you back.
Mm-hmm.
But the more times you step on the gas, the farther you're going to go. And love yourself. Whatever you lazy boy, The Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment. It's a very small book. Thaddeus Golis got it when I was that age, you know, way young. He talked about you're not going to get to a higher level of consciousness until you can love where you're at right now. And that means you have to have loving thoughts about yourself. Mm-hmm. And most people don't have loving thoughts about themselves at times. They have unloving thoughts about themselves. Well, that keeps you in hell.
Yeah.
If you want to get out of hell, you got to think about a way of controlling the thoughts that you're thinking in order to make the flowers grow rather than the flowers die. And you do that by pausing between the sounds that you speak and also stopping. It's like getting off the train, exercising, going back on the train of thought. And that disrupts that train of thought, that pattern of speaking. It disrupts it. And that's what you want to be able to do. You want to dissolve it. You want to dissolve that stream called your ego. You want to dissolve it. Still there, but it's spacious now. It's no longer unspacious. You're now spacious. You are now relaxed as stuff comes at you rather than resist.
Right.
Relaxed.
The power of the pause. I think I'm going to keep dropping that all day. Because when we think about, you know, our natural nature is to be negative. Our amygdala mind, its job is to protect us and I'm air quoting people, right? So, you know, when you work with somebody and you start seeing them, do you find the greatest shift comes from the pause? Is their ability to shift from a positive, from a negative thought pattern to a positive? Like, what do you find is the first couple of things that people realize through that action of pausing and creating space?
It wouldn't be the positive thought pattern or the negative thought pattern, because that involves something inside your head. It's more difficult to get at the stuff inside your head, but it's easy to get the stuff inside the head says. And so right. I said, you may not be able to control the thoughts that the ego thinks, but you can certainly control the thoughts that the ego speaks. Oof. And when you can control the thoughts that the ego speaks, you create the reality in which you live with your speaking. What you think and what you see is the same thing. So what you speak into the world, I like that, I don't like that, this is good, this is bad, creates that reality. And by controlling the timing of your speaking, you don't have a choice. Mm. And 99% of the people don't have a choice about what they want to say, because it's automatic speaking. It's an automatic, the event, reaction occur at the same time. Versus if you can pause the event, breathe, relax your body, notice all the stuff churning up inside your head, all the judgments about that, just notice it, ground your body, get your body still, take a breath, ground your body, then go back to the event and see what your decisions are going to be. But you come to the event from stillness and you don't engage in the event until you've gotten control of your physical body. If you haven't gotten control of your physical body, then who are you to be speaking? You can't even get your body under control. You know,
right.
Got to get your body under control.
It tells us so many, it provides us so many signals. And we, like you say, because we're moving at 1,000, you know, miles per hour, we're not noticing or paying attention to those really powerful cues. If it doesn't feel good in your body, chances are there's an impact. You know, that pause is so powerful. So when you think about your own journey, what have been some of the biggest highlights as you've moved through this awareness? And what have been some of the biggest struggles?
Highlights were getting up on the stage and surviving.
Yes. Amen.
When I did my beginning of my work with Werner, they started out with small groups and the small groups got bigger. And so more people are going to be judging me. So I remember driving to the seminars thinking, I'm going to die. They're going to discover who I really am.
Oh, like, I've had that conversation internally before.
But why would I put myself in front of an audience to be discovered to be, and who I thought I was, was weak, mm-hmm. was insignificant, was unloved. Unloved is another word. And so by doing it, facing the fear, when I went home that night, I'm high and feeling great, because I looked the devil in the face. Mm-hmm. I looked death in the face. And I said, I went towards the pain, and I got to squeeze an experience of wisdom and joy out of it, survival, which gave me strength to do it again, mm-hmm. and to do it again and again and again. So that's sort of the way it starts for me. And the second part of your question, I think that was the struggle. What's the second part?
Yeah. Like what did you find were your struggle or your biggest barriers creating the shift?
Well, I'm blessed. Hmm. I'm blessed by doors opening up. Mm-hmm. You know, Werner Erhard appeared in my reality because of Wynne Salisbury, the sociology professor at San Jose State. So he took us to Werner. So Werner is then you go to other opportunities that come your way, business opportunities that come your way. I have no idea. We never did advertising. It's word of mouth. Thank God for that, because it grows and grows. And so I've just been blessed. I don't look at the struggles as struggles. I look at them as the mind, and the more older I get, the more I'm able to convert it from being a struggle to an opportunity, and to come still and realizing that Eckhart Tolle talked about. He says that 85, 90% of all the suffering people experience are the thoughts you have about the situation rather than the situation itself. Most people think it's a situation that needs to be fixed in order for me to be important, for me to be happy. He said, no. It's not the situation. It's your thoughts about the situation that need to be examined. But no one does that because the ego doesn't look this way. The ego looks outside.
Right.
Not my responsibility. You did it to me, Jenny.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, and I think one of those powerful things that you're sharing is the reality is our thoughts become our truth.
Yep.
So when we pause, we allow ourselves to actually define our truth. I think that is a beautiful thing.
And the way I add to that is the way you paint it. Mm-hmm. And I'll bring up a paintbrush that they cannot see, but this event occurs at this moment and now. And how do I interpret it? How do I paint it? Good, bad, right, wrong, what my mother said, what the church said, then I know what it is because I painted it.
Yes.
Well, what's the paint that you use? Well, the paint came from the past. It's not present time pain, it's past pain. So you're looking at this moment of now through a veil of the past. You can't see what's there, but you can dissolve the veil by putting pauses between the sounds that you speak. It disrupts the programming. It's like the red pill in the Matrix. This is the red pill. The space is the red pill that allows you to disrupt the automaticity of the program. And so then you become in, whoa. I'm able to stop and get my body grounded. And most people can't do that because it takes practice. It's just not because the ego is not interested in that. The ego is interested in whatever the ego wants.
Right. It can be the powerhouse and, you know, the dominator in the relationship. So that power of pause is a subtle way to really disrupt that process. So Alan, we're getting close to our time together. Is there something that I haven't asked you yet that you would love to make sure you share with the people that are listening?
I love the opportunity to share about a journey that I've been on all my life, a journey of transformation, a journey of getting out of the ego and understanding what the ego is. Oh, the ego is just that stream of thinking that goes inside my head. That's all the ego is, just that stream of thinking, those thoughts. You are not the thoughts. You're watching the thoughts. You're the observer of the thoughts. But right now, you are the thoughts. But as you practice mindful, spacious speaking, you become more relaxed. And pretty soon, you can watch the thoughts and then choose which thoughts you want to follow. Can't choose where it comes from, but you can certainly choose if I'm going to follow that train of thought or not, or I'm going to follow another train of thought. That's an important concept, and I'd just like to share that again.
I'm really glad you did, because honestly, that is like a game-changing concept. Like, it literally can redefine your life in different areas. So, Alan, I know that we're going to have listeners that are looking to connect with you. I personally will be putting your contact information in all our show notes. But do you have any specific way you would like people to reach you?
Best way would be the website,
okay.
acamindfulyou.com.
Wonderful.
That's the best way to reach us and connect with us and to see what trainings are we offering and what activities that we involve and what activities you can get involved into on your journey for mindfulness.
I love it. So Alan, any final thoughts?
Thank you for the opportunity to share with you and allow the love and the kindness and the blessings to pass through me to bless you. And I just think I feel chills in my body just at the opportunity to share what I had to share with you.
Well, and I can thank you on behalf of myself and our listeners for sharing your wisdom and your passion. There is nothing more powerful than sharing from somebody who's not only walked through it, but also now empowering others to see the new way of being, the possibility. So thank you so much for sharing your story and being on the show. Listeners, thank you for being here. Again, our show is the sum of the people that listen and participate and share. This whole event, this whole process is strictly about being there for you. And we thank you so much for being there for us. Do not forget to hesitate to ignite the wellness warrior in you. You can always join us at Your Holistic Earth if you wish to dig deeper. And again, Alan, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Winning with Wellness. If something you heard today sparked your interest or fired up your curiosity, please head over to Apple Podcasts now, hit subscribe, and leave us a review. Your review helps us ignite the wellness warriors in others. Your community is waiting for you. Don't forget to activate your free wellness membership to Your Holistic Earth. You'll find the link in the show notes. It is never too late to redefine your wellness, and you don't have to do it alone. One small action can lead to life-changing results. I know because it did for me. And from my heart to yours, thank you for sharing your most valuable asset with me, you.